Good morning once again. Our sermon text comes from the second letter of Paul the Apostle to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. This is a faithful saying, "For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." Now there are four if-then statements in our text. Each one contains man's action and God's response to our action. "For if we died with him, we shall also live with him." Paul, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, wrote the same thing to the Romans. And in that place, in Romans chapter 6, he explained it a little more fully. Beginning in verse 7, he writes, "For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Christ died for us. He died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. And we are called to do the self-same thing. Just as he was crucified, we are called to crucify our flesh with its passions, in its desires. Our text says, if we died with him. If. The reality or the hypocrisy of your Christian profession is known by whether or not your life has really changed. God saves us for a purpose, so that we can serve him. God has no need of hypocrites that we might bring reproach upon our Maker, and that others might make sport of the gospel at our expense. Has your life really changed? Or are you playing the hypocrite in that certain area of your life. It also says, we shall also live with him. This is the promise to those who in fact have died with him. So I ask you, are you living with Jesus? Judge for yourselves whether faith, truth, peace, hope, and joy characterize your life. And if not, which sin is besetting you? Which sin is stopping you? Clearly, God is not the problem. Is it unbelief? Is it a complaining spirit? Is it covetousness? Is it bitterness or lust or worry? If we endure, we also shall reign with him. If you are the real deal, then God will see that you endure. The same God who saved you by grace through faith is also able to save you to the uttermost. He will give you the grace and the strength to endure to the end. Friends, rely on Jesus. Consider the great spiritual blessings of being one of God's true children. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:4, reserved in heaven for you. Now let me ask you this. Have you been to the third heaven? That being not the case, who is it that made that reservation for you? Well, it had to have been God himself, right? Would God withdraw a reservation that he made in your name? So Peter goes on, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Friends, we who are children of God, believers in him through the Lord Jesus Christ, have been saved by his power, and if we've been saved by his power, we are also kept by his power. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. If you don't believe Paul, believe Jesus. The real Christian will confess Christ before men. For the scripture says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're not saved by our words, but because we're saved, the grace of God so overflows within us that we talk about it. too is a liar. But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Pretty strong words, huh? And yet every Saturday there's somebody standing by the bus stop preaching the false gospel of the denial of the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Here's the climax of our text, with applications for believers and for unbelievers. First, for believers, we ought to be mighty thankful for this promise. Peter was a true believer, but there came a time where he acted apart from faith. He was operating in the fear of men, and so he denied the Savior who was in the process of paying the penalty for the sin that he was in the process of committing. Think about it. He was operating in the fear of men. And so, faithless Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But God didn't cast him out. You know why? The Lord could not deny his own promises and his own grace. He could not deny the salvation that he had given Peter through believing that Jesus was about to go to the cross, pay for his sins, and rise again. Yeah, Peter had some trouble with that. But he still had a little bit of faith. Peter had questions, but there was still that mustard seed of faith, and it was enough. And so God, in his grace, restored Peter. And that's what God will do for you, Christian friend, if and when you turn aside. We as human beings are always failing. But God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for Peter, and it's good enough for me. And I thank him for it, even though I know I don't deserve it. God is just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Jesus said, addressing all believers of this present church age, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Your salvation was not initiated by you, but by God. Indeed, it is written, "There is none who seeks after God." The same God who saved you again will keep you. Therefore, fear not. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is our faithful God. This is our constant God. Now finally, I shall be remiss if I do not address anyone who is an unbeliever on this key point. And here we have an application that is frightening. The unbeliever is without faith in God through Jesus Christ. The unbeliever is faithless. But guess what? God is faithful not only to the Christian, but also to the unbeliever. God causes the rain to fall upon both alike. But God is faithful. He does not change. He is just, and He will always do what is right and what He's promised to do. And you say, some of you, that God is not fair. Oh, there were people in the church at Rome who were saying the same thing. And so, the Lord, through Paul, says, for what if some did not believe? What about the unbeliever? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. An unfair God would not be worthy of trust, would he? If God just acted capriciously and said, oh, well, yeah, I said that, but I'm going to do this. We wouldn't be able to trust anything he says. But here's the thing. God is fair. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He can't say one thing and do another. God's word is true and will surely be kept. So when God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe upon him will not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a promise for those who believe, but then there's also a promise for those who don't. You'll perish, and what's that mean? An eternity apart from God in the flames of hell. Take a read through the Sermon on the Mount. If you think I'm being a little too harsh here, and by the time you get done reading that, Matthew chapter 5, you'll wonder if I was sugarcoating things a little too much. God's promises to the unbeliever. Scary. That God's wrath is going to abide. Therefore, what shall I do to be saved? That punishment. Repent and believe the gospel. Stop trifling with God. If you trifle with God, if you're playing games with God right now, you will die and your pride will die with you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And do it today because you don't know what's going to happen. I'd have it, and I pray that each and every one of us here lives to a ripe old age in wonderful health. But we just don't know. When death will come knocking on the door. Therefore, today, now is the day of salvation. Make peace with God through Jesus Christ. Take hold of all of the promises in this book. If you're an unbeliever, you have only one promise right now. Two, you'll have no peace in this life and no rest in the next. But if you're a believer, you've got all of the promises in the book. We've got a little book that we put out there. It's got 199 of them. And he missed a few. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And you'll find that he is a rewarder of the just and the faithful. For as it is written, the just shall live by his faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these promises. And we thank you most of all for your faithfulness. So many times we've fallen short. And so many times you picked us up. Lord, we thank you that our heavenly inheritance doesn't depend upon all of the things that we do, but that it depends upon what you've done. Lord, that we might live in freedom knowing this, that we can always come back to the throne of grace with faith, belief, humility, and confession, and find help in our hour of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.